Near FM. Now then, you are very welcome back to the final part of the Monday edition of Northside Today with me, Donny Tartan, with you for the next 20 minutes. And I would imagine that my next guest, that piece of music has a special resonance for him. Steve Collins boxing in Mill Street in County Cork in the Green Glens Arena. I actually worked for the man that built and owned the Green Glens Arena in Old C. Duggan. So there you go, we'll get those two things out of the way at the beginning. Steve, take me back to the start and talk to me, because I want to get a sense of what it was like growing up in Cabra, because we, being a community radio station, we base and place an awful lot of emphasis on the benefits of community. And I would imagine that Cabra, even to this day, still fiercely important to you.
It was a great neighbourhood to grow up in. It's where my dad was born, where I was born. Close to the schools, close to the Phoenix Park. We went far from the city centre. We had everything. It was absolutely a wonderful place to grow up in, nothing but happy memories there.
And Steve, you know, knowing a little bit about you and having chatted to Debbie and that about you, like, I mean, I would think that it must have been a ferociously sporting household, because, I mean, Brother Roddy, of course, was involved with the soccer and all that. So, I mean, was sport the be-all and end-all in the house growing up?
I think sport, in general, in those days, was everything for all the youngsters growing up. Because, you know, growing up, we had school sports, we had sports, we played football on the roads, we went to the local boxing gym. So, you know, there wasn't as much television, but social media did not exist. So all our gatherings and all our social times together was around games and sports. So I think sport was major in those days for youngsters growing up in the Cabra neighbourhood. So definitely sports was a big part of all our lives. We all wanted to be professional footballers, we all wanted to be boxers, and that was our ambition going up, and we followed it on TV and played on the streets.
Now, I mentioned Roddy there earlier, excuse me, with the association football, and you went down the road of boxing. So, I mean, what was it about the boxing that said, you know, was it just that you did everything and you took you had a flair for the boxing, or was it from early on you said, this is the route I'm taking?
No, I had my first fight when I was 8 years old, and I absolutely loved it. I knew then it was something that appealed to me. You know, the whole challenge, the winning, the glory, the enjoyment, everything about it appealed to me, and I just knew this is what I wanted to do. And plus, I'd grown up in a family, you know, boxing was very much part of growing up. My father was the first live boxing match ever shown on Irish television. His brother, Terry, was one of the best known boxers in the Irish scene then. And then my mother's brother, Jack O'Rourke, was, you know, middleweight and heavyweight champion of Ireland. So I had both sides, my father's side and mother's side of the family, I had very well known, very well respected people in the boxing world, so I just got introduced to it at a young age, and I just got hooked at a young age, and I've enjoyed every moment of it up to my retirement.
Yeah, and what's to say, it was in the blood, and you couldn't avoid it. And then the move, Steve, into the professional arena of boxing. Talk to me about that, because I was chatting to Kenny Egan some time ago, and I remember him saying, he was telling me that he toyed with the idea of going professional, and he was given a piece of advice which he took to heart, and he said, in the professional game, there's one thing you have to remember: you're the first one to get hit and the last one to get paid. So, I mean, did you weigh that up for a long, long time before you said, I'm going down the professional route?
I think Egan not turning professional was a loss to the professional boxing in Ireland. I think he's absolutely super talented fighter. He would have been, if not a world champion, he certainly would have been contending for world titles. So him not turning professional, I suppose, was his choice. But he would have been a great fighter. He was so talented, and it's a shame he didn't. No, for me, professional boxing was always more appealing than amateur. you know, nowadays you watch amateur boxing. Amateur boxing is very safety conscious. It's almost changed the game. So I say to people, you know, amateur boxing, professionals fighting. You know, in amateur, you can go up and you can land lots of punches and win a decision, you know, on a point system. So a clever boxer can do well in the amateur sport. In professional sport, you're in there for 10, 12, usually 15 rounds. It's a lot more time. It's not really a scoring sport. It's more of a game of who's in control and who's the best at fighting. So, you know, they're both boxing. The professional is more for fighting. Amateur is more boxing. And the professional side that always appealed to me, you know, throughout my amateur career, I shared rings with many good fighters, and I always knew I was tougher than them, and I could beat them. But, you know, time, three rounds was enough time, and plus, guys could steal a fight in amateur. But I always knew in the professional game that they would spend a long time in there with me, and eventually I would catch up with them, and eventually would put them to the test and find out who was the toughest guy in there. And that appeals to me more in the professional game, more so than in the amateur game.
Steve, I started this morning, believe it or not, a Twitter spat here in Ireland because when I filed the running order, I described you as the most successful Irish boxer in recent times, and somebody came back on Twitter there, I was told earlier on, and said, while they have huge respect for you and what you achieved, and you were definitely one of the greatest boxers that this country ever produced, would Katie Taylor not be more successful? Now, I know, Steve, like, it's not a case of who was the best and this, that and the other, but, I mean, I'm thinking of the likes of Michael Caruth, who brought boxing to a level. Then you brought it to a level. Then other people along. But the likes of the Katie Taylors, Kelly Harrington, I know as well, you've huge respect for. I mean, it keeps it up there, if not even increases the level of interest in boxing in the country.
Absolutely, it does. It brings a whole new audience to it, lady female boxing, because it's, you know, women probably wouldn't have had as much an interest in the past before they were viewers. Nowadays, women are participants in women boxing, so it definitely brings it to the forefront. A lot more publicity, a lot more viewers, a lot more interest. But at the very beginning of a conversation, you mentioned Twitter. I lost interest in the point I'm making, because I have absolutely no interest in Twitter. I don't do social media. People have platforms to achieve nothing in their life. But absolutely nobody. So I don't get involved in people's opinions on Twitter. I'd rather speak to the people who have achieved in sport, like the Katie Taylors and like the Michael Cruz and them. And when they talk, I listen, and their opinions are what I value. But definitely, female boxing has now brought a whole new audience to the sport. And we've got some amazing, amazing talented women out there. And Katie Taylor, I think, is probably the best female boxer in the history of the world ever.
Steve, I'm just wondering now, and I don't wish to pry, like, but I'm just wondering how connected you are with the boxing scene here, because a lot of people know you live in England this weather, but it's the question I want to ask you is, why is it that despite everything, every time the Olympic comes around, the Olympics, should I say, come around, we can nearly always depend on our boxers to bring back medals. You know, we have hopes in athletics. Yes, the roars have come to the fore in the last couple of Olympics, but always the boxers seem to deliver. What is it about it? Is it just that we're good at it? Is it the system that's in place? What is it?
It's a combination of what you said. I mean, in sport, our most successful athletes, both amateur, including the Olympians, obviously, and professional sport, we've always been achieved greatness in boxing. It's the one sport where we have, at times, ruled the world. I think it goes back to probably our mindset and our mentality. I think we're very competitive, we're very tough, we're very independent. And in the boxing ring, you are alone, it is tough, and you have to be prepared, you know, to take the pressure to succeed. And that seems to appeal to the mindset of people in growing up in Ireland. Unfortunately, most of them have to go abroad to achieve success, because it's a small country with a small population. But a lot of people who have succeeded in the professional game and now starting to return to Ireland and bringing back the knowledge and experience of games abroad. And a perfect example of that is my brother Pascal, who has the Celtic Warrior gym in Dublin. And people from all over the world have travelled and visited his gym, you know, connected with the boxing world. I've been absolutely amazed and blown away by the standard he has there. And they say his gym is, you know, stands out, and it's a very unique gym, but it's a gym that where he passes on his knowledge and experience he's gained both in America and the United States and Ireland. So I think it's changing. I think we're getting more and more successful, you know, launching fighters from Ireland. But before, in the past, most of them had to travel, but I can see that changing in the future, thanks to people like my brother who brought back their experience to Ireland and passed on their knowledge on home soil.
Yeah, and I suppose the other side of that, then, Steve, is the likes of Pascal, like, who is getting the next 8-year-old Steve Collins coming into the gym with his father. You know, with his knowledge and his insight, he will see something that somebody else wouldn't see in that young fella, and they can be sort of geared towards the elite side of it, for want of a better word, and their skills honed. So, I mean, at 8 years of age, Pascal, I would imagine, would be able to look at the young fella there after a couple of rounds in the ring and say, there's an Olympic medal in this fella, you know?
Absolutely. You know, as you say, show me the boy and I'll show you the man. And kids do come in, and some kids walk in the gym, you see something magic, you just go, wow, this kid's got talent. Let's hopefully he sticks to it. But it's very tough for kids, you know, to stay in sports nowadays, because there's so many distractions. There's a lot more out there than there was when we were younger, a lot more distractions out there than we had when we were kids. And I think now the young is probably the first time ever for a youngster in any city, in any country throughout the world. There's so many distractions out there, from, you know, social media, and then there's food, you know, which is junk food, there's drugs, there's TV. You know, before, you know, life was very simple. We had a television, a couple of stations, you know, we had a sporting program that we watched, and we had the outdoor life, we had the boxing gyms and the football clubs. Nowadays, there's so much going on now that for young kids, you know, to be dedicated to one thing, it's really difficult because there's so many distractions out there. And I think it's very hard for kids to maintain a level of interest in one thing out there because there's so much going on, which I think are negative distractions with social media and that. But getting back to the point you make, there is a lot of talent out there, and there are some kids that do arrive at the Pascal's gym. And the hardest part is keeping them interested and keeping them there, because just sport, and there's a lot of other things out there which are probably easier and more fun. But if you do get to one or two that stay with us, hopefully we'll have champions of the future that will keep the game going, keep interest going in Ireland.
Now, my guest is Steve Collins. We just have to apologise that I think Steve is actually talking to us from Italy this afternoon, so that there's a little bit of a glitch on the line from time to time. Steve, you were the WBO middleweight and super middleweight titles. You held the two of them at the one time, and you never lost a fight as a champion, and that is some boast. Tell me, if you can, and I'm thinking particularly, and I'll go back to something we said at the start of the chat, about the night in Mill Street against Chris Eubank, I think it was. Talk to me about the hour and a half before you have to go into the ring. Where you go in your mind to be ready for a challenge like that?
It's probably the hardest part of the fight is what goes on in there before the fight takes place, because you know, all the doubts go through your mind and all the questions go through your mind. You know, have you prepared properly? Have you left any the chance? You know, is luck going to be on your side? Are the judges going to be on your side? Is the referee going to be on your side? You know, are you going to be in the position where you get hit with a punch that can knock you out and damage you forever? You know, lots of doubts come into your mind, but then you have to push the doubts aside and develop a positive attitude and think positive, and then, you know, realise that you've worked hard to get where you are, and that, you know, this is also your chance and your opportunity to show, you know, how good you can be. And you've never, I think the best thing is before the fight against someone like Chris Eubank is, I'm in with the top, the biggest name out there, and this is my chance to prove that what I've always been saying throughout my life, that I am the best in the world. I've now got the opportunity to prove it. So it's also a great position to be in. So it works both ways. It's how you handle it in your mind. And as I always say to people, it's the mind that leads the body. Some people with great talent fall because they're with the mental strength. And unfortunately, you know, it's very hard to work on that, you know. You can get people physically fit, but if the mind's not on the game, it's a waste of time. So I've always had a positive attitude growing up. I've never been afraid of challenges. So that kind of helps my mindset when preparing and waiting to enter the boxing ring.
And when you walk out, and we played a bit of the walk-on music there just before we started chatting, and the crowd erupts, do you actually hear that? Because I would talk to a lot now, and I would know a lot of lads, and would have played it myself, even GA. Like, some fellas absolutely absorb and thrive, and it's like an adrenaline rush when they run out and the crowd lifts, and more people don't even, they black it out completely, they don't hear them, they don't see them, they're totally in the zone. What about you? Like, when you walked out in the place of the Green Glens erupted, do you hear that, or are you just focused on the next 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes?
Well, the term you used there definitely was what the feeling was going through my mind when I entered the ring in Mill Street. I felt everybody there was supporting me, and everybody, it wasn't just me, I felt we were on show that night. It was us against the rest of the world. It was the Irish warrior taking on the world, and we want this our chance to prove we were the best out there. So I always remember when I entered the ring with Chris Eubank, I walked around and I held my arms out and closed my eyes, and I just absorbed the energy from everybody in the ring, because I knew that they were all with me. And it was a strange feeling. I just felt like I got my strength from the crowd, and the louder they cheered and the more they cheered for me, I just felt that energy gave me strength and they helped me. So on that occasion, definitely the crowd played a big part. I've also had other occasions where I fought, you know, in New Jersey against local fighters over there. You know, I remember fighting the US title against Kevin Killer Watson in his backyard, and I walked out and the abuse and stick I got. So I also turned that around to the crowd, as if to say to the crowd, I'll take you all on. So, you know, you change your mindset to suit the crowd, but you always pull something out that's positive to you. Definitely when they entered the ring in Mill Street without Eubank, the whole energy from the crowd, the positive energy and the support they got, I definitely saw them. They gave me great strength and great enthusiasm to continue on and be in and win the fight.
And two final questions, Steve, before we part company. Talk to me about going back to Cabra with the belt. You're the world champion, you're on top of the world, local boy made good. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, when I returned to Cabra the first time, I was a middleweight champion before I fought Chris Eubank. It was after my win against Chris Poyet. And, you know, growing up in the neighbourhood I grew up in definitely shaped my persona as an adult. You know, I learned so much living in an animal in Cabra about going up there, that life was amazing. All the different characters we had, I had different friends, I had the neighbours, I had all the people. And to this day, you know, I go back there every once in a while with my thoughts and experiences in life. Brings me back there, and every experience I had there has, you know, made me what I am today. It was a wonderful, wonderful neighbourhood, and, you know, anybody who's grown up in a neighbourhood like that is a lucky person. And neighbourhoods is what makes kids really, and, you know, we just need to keep neighbours like that alive. Unfortunately, due to social media and rules and regulations and so on, it's very hard for kids to get out in the open air and the spaces and the streets and the roads to integrate with each other, play the sports, have fun, have their little fights, have their little celebrations. Whatever we did as kids definitely shapes us. But, you know, myself growing up in Animal Terrace in Cabra was an absolute dream of a childhood. It was praise the people I grew up in, the neighbourhood, the surroundings I had, the Phoenix Park, the zoo, the city centre, you know, the swimming baths, the football clubs, the boxing clubs, everything within walking a cycling distance from our home. So I had everything growing up. I was great. I had a parent, a great dad, absolute legend, wonderful man. And then I had a mother who, my mother was an absolute, the best mother anyone could ask for. She was just a wonderful, positive, supportive woman, and she still is today. And I can never thank them, my parents, enough for my successes in adulthood, because the security and strength and love they gave me, you know, made me successful today.
Well, 25 years on, he looks as good today as he did when he stepped into that ring in Mill Street. And you're coming back to Cork again, Steve, I think.
Yes, it's been arranged down there. Local boxing fraternity and some business organisations down there, especially Conal from Conal's Trees, has been a great supporter to boxing and my brother's GM, etc. Conal Thomas, that is. And he's obviously got a great future champion down there, Spike O'Sullivan. Gary O'Sullivan, who, you know, one day will get the break and will win the world title he worked so hard for. So I'm looking forward to getting back to Cork. I have great experience there as amateurs. You know, we in my area, we're the best amateurs coming from Cork, with the Joyce fans from Sunnyside. So I've always had a great time in Cork, great experience in Cork. And after 25 years celebration, after beating Chris Eubanks last year, but due to the COVID, it's been postponed. So I'm getting an award and a reception this year. And I'm actually looking forward to, it's kind of a homecoming for me and my family and friends are all coming down to have a good night out, or two even, in Cork.
Well, I am...
I'm looking forward to meeting Nosey Duggan. Nosey Duggan played a major part in bringing this fight to Cork and Mill Street, you know, was on the map of the Eurovision Song Contest. And because of the Eurovision Song Contest and because of the vision and mind and play open mind of Nosey Duggan, it's thanks to him that, you know, we brought the fight against Chris Eubanks to Ireland, to Cork, to Mill Street, and Nosey Duggan was magic and a big part of that. And I think he should be getting the award for what he's done, because he worked so hard in the background and done so much to make it happen. I could never thank him enough.
Well, I can tell you one thing, and having worked for him and knowing him for many years, the word no is not in his vocabulary. I mean, if he can't go right through the problem, he'll go around it, but he'll get to where he wants at the end of the day, Stephen. You and I both know that.
Well, that's the Irish mentality, and that's the mentality of the Irish boxing fraternity, and that's probably why it's the sport we're the most successful in our country is boxing, because we've got the Nosey Duggan mindset.
Steve Collins, double holder, believe it or not, world champion. He held it at middleweight and super middleweight and never lost while he was a champion. Steve, you're always a champion in our eyes, and thank you so much for taking the time today. I know it's been a bit of an effort and we had to go around the house a bit to get it done, but I really do appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy Cork. Try and enjoy it as much this time as I know you did the last time. In the meantime, Steve, thanks so much for talking to me this afternoon. I really, really do appreciate it.
No, good to meet him. All good. I was Big Mayor Rash. Slán.
There you go, my friends. The great Steve Collins. He traded his boxing career as the Celtic Warrior, but coming back to celebrate in Cork again after all those years where he lifted the title in the Green Glens Arena in Mill Street.
Near FM.